Open your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Thankful for the opportunity to gather together again and to continue our study here. Lord willing, we're going to wrap up this letter to the Church of Corinth, and we'll be jumping back into the book of Acts. It's been a little while since we've been there. And of course, this portion of Acts, a lot of letters were written, so we're going to be back in Acts for a little bit and then jump into another letter, but this is a different kind of study than I've ever done before, and I think it's really neat to study it chronologically and then study those letters as they were written in the context of what was going on with those missionary journeys and the planting of churches and the preaching of the gospel to the world, and I hope it's been a blessing to you. And so we're going to continue with this understanding that we need to do all things, let all the things that we do be done with love, and we serve the Lord by giving, we serve the Lord with vision, we serve the Lord also with flexibility, we serve the Lord where we are, and we serve the Lord with others. And so we're going to pick back up, we'll start at verse 12. So let's pray together, and then we'll jump into the scriptures tonight. Father in heaven, thank you again for this day. Thank you for Christ, our Savior, who died for us and rose again. Thank you for the hope the gospel has given to us. And please help us to share that hope with those around us. Help us to be faithful, to be witnesses for you everywhere we go, every day. Lord, we're so thankful for your grace in our lives, for the way that you blessed us so much. And we pray that you'll help us to walk with you day by day, to be real disciples, continuing in your word, bearing much fruit for your glory. Please teach us through your Spirit tonight, convict us, help us to be quick to repent and confess, and that we might have clean hearts and lives before you by your grace. And Lord, help us to live in the liberty that you've given us in Christ. And please help me, for I'm nothing without you. We pray that you'll bless your word tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 12. He says, as touching our brother Apollos, I greatly desired him to come unto you with the brethren, but his will was not at all to come at this time, but he will come when he shall have a convenient time. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Let all your things be done with charity. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that ye submit yourselves unto such, and to every one that helpeth with us and laboreth. I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part they have supplied, for they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore acknowledge ye them that are such. The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with a church that is in their house. All the brethren greet you. Greet ye one another with an holy kiss, the salutation of me, Paul, with mine own hand. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen. So we're going to back up here and pick up at verse 13. Remember, we're talking about serving the Lord and doing everything in love. And this thought that he gives us, talking about those who are laboring together, he talks about Timotheus, he talks about Stephanas and all of his household. Then he kind of sandwiches in between that some other people. And I just want you to see in the midst of that, he gives us these great admonitions to watch, to stand fast in the faith, to act or quit you like men means to act like men, be strong and do everything with love. So let's talk about those things. First of all, watch ye, or we might say be vigilant. Be vigilant. To watch is the idea of the security guard. It's the watchman on the wall. It's the one who is on guard. And he's saying be vigilant in the work that God has called you to do. Don't be lazy. Don't be negligent, but be vigilant. In Matthew chapter 26, verses 40 and 41, Matthew chapter 26, verses 40 and 41, the scriptures say, he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep and saith unto Peter, what? could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. When the Lord was in the garden praying, before he would be arrested and falsely accused and ultimately die for our sins, he told his disciples, watch and pray. That's what we have here. Watch ye, watch, be vigilant. Couldn't you stay awake to pray? Couldn't you pay attention to what was going on? Couldn't you just stay with what you needed to? And the Lord would challenge us tonight through his word to watch and be vigilant. Find 1 Peter chapter 5, if you would. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We're to humble ourselves before the Lord, and we're to be vigilant, to be on guard, because we have an enemy, we have an adversary who is after us all the time. And the Lord reminds us multiple times to watch, to be vigilant, because in our flesh, we tend to be not vigilant. Amen. He commands us to watch multiple times because we tend to fall asleep. And this is no time to sleep. It's high time to awake out of sleep, because our redemption is nearer than when we began. And we need to be faithful, and we need to be awake, and we need to pay attention, and we need to be watching. Amen. And praying and on guard and resisting the attacks of the evil one, so that we can be faithful to the one who died for us and rose again. So be vigilant. If we're going to serve, and we're going to serve in love, we're going to have to be vigilant. The next thing is we need to persevere. He says, watch ye, and then he says, stand fast in the faith. This idea of standing fast is the idea of perseverance. Galatians 5:1 says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. God has delivered us from the weight of the law. He's delivered us of the condemnation of the law. We have liberty in Christ, and we're to stand fast in that liberty. In other words, persevere, don't fall away. And there's a lot of ways we can do that. When he writes that to the church of Galatia, they were being tempted to go back under the law. They were people who were coming in saying, it's good that you believed in Jesus, but you have to keep the law too. They were actually telling people you have to be circumcised in order to be saved. And so he's telling them to stand fast in the liberty. In other words, don't be put under the yoke of bondage. Don't go back under the law, but live in grace. So there's the idea of going back to this idea of legalism, going back to this idea of works-based salvation, going back to this idea of performance-based Christianity, as if by the way you live your life, you can get God to love you more. But the Lord Jesus Christ loves you the same now as he ever did and as he ever will. It's unchanging. And so we want to live in that liberty. We want to persevere. And I think it's amazing how the Lord ties this together. Stand fast, what? In the faith.
Amen.
Faith. How are you saved? By grace, through faith.
Amen.
That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. If you're saved, you're saved by faith. If you're saved, it's only by the grace of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So stand fast in the faith.
Amen.
Stand fast in the liberty. Persevere not in your own strength. Do you see it?
Amen.
See, my whole life growing up in church, I thought perseverance, I thought standing fast was something I had to do. Like I gotta hold my ground. I gotta be the soldier. I gotta have on those cleats that the soldiers used to wear. You guys ever seen that? The Roman soldiers' sandals had spikes in them, similar to cleats that athletes wear today, so they could dig in and they could have their shield wall and they could hold their ground and they would stand fast. They would persevere and they would do it in their own strength and in their own might. But God doesn't say persevere in your own strength. He doesn't say stand fast in your own ability. He says stand fast in the faith. Amen. He says stand fast in the liberty. In other words, I'm standing fast, but it's not even me. It's just, I'm standing fast in faith. That's what's holding me in my place. That's how I stand. It's not strength. It's not my ability. It's not my might. It's the Lord.
Amen.
And glory to God, I don't have to stand on my own. I stand in Christ.
Amen.
Because if you had to stand on your own, you would fall. And if I had to stand in my own strength, I would fall. And if it depended on us to persevere, to stand fast, we would all fall.
Amen.
But I don't stand in my own strength. Stand in faith. So stay, persevere in faith. So be vigilant. Stay on watch. Stay on guard. Be persevering by faith and through the liberty Christ has given. And then he says, behave like men. Quit you like men. This is the only time this is used in the New Testament. That whole phrase, quit you like men, those four words come from one Greek word, and it simply means act like a man.
Amen.
Just curious, have any of you fellas ever been told that? Be a man. Act like a man. Maybe you heard it different ways. I don't know. Suck it up, buttercup. I mean, something like that, right? Hey, men should act like men.
Amen.
As a side note, women should act like women.
Amen.
But we're making some spiritual application here. He's writing the church and he's saying, be strong.
Amen.
Be strong. But be strong how? Trying to figure out this meaning behind this. Like I said, it's the only time this word is used in the entire New Testament. By the way, I love the Bible study tools that are available to us today.
Amen.
It is amazing what we can do. I share with you a lot of times what words mean in the Greek and where, how many times it's used in the Greek. I don't know Greek, but I have tools that can help me find it in the Greek. So I want to share this with you. I found this word in the Greek. I looked it up in the Greek Old Testament. So there's a translation of the Old Testament in Greek. And so I was able to find this word, how it's used in the Old Testament, since there's no other use of it in the New Testament. Joshua chapter 1, verse 5. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. And verse 6 says, be strong. That's the word. That's the word translated in the New Testament, quit you like men, is translated in the Greek in the Old Testament, be strong. So what the apostle is telling us here and what he was telling the church at Corinth here, quit you like men, is what the Lord told Joshua. Be strong.
Amen.
Be strong, he says, and of a good courage, for unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong, there it is again, and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Here it is again. Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest.
Amen.
Listen, Joshua had a huge task in front of him. Obviously, some huge shoes to fill following Moses. And God told him over and over, don't be afraid, but be strong. Act like a man and be of good courage. And where was his strength to come from? Where was this courage to come from? It was to come from the Word of God. See, God was telling him, be strong and be of good courage, but he wasn't saying, muster that up in your own strength. He was saying, get in my word and let my word get in you, and it will give you strength.
Amen.
Friends, these promises that God gave to Joshua, they're the same promises that the Lord Jesus gives us in the New Testament.
Amen.
I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Put my word in your heart, put my word in your mouth, and observe to do all that I've commanded you. Our strength is going to come from the Word of God. Our ability to behave like men, to act like men, to be manly, spiritually speaking, is going to come from our skill at the Word of God. And the more you read your Bible, the more you study your Bible, the more you meditate on your Word, on the Word of God, the more you hide His Word in your heart, the more spiritually manly you'll be able to be. And some of the ladies are like, I don't know if I want to be manly. But you ought to have a desire to be strong in the Lord. And then the power of His might. So be vigilant, be persevering. Be vigilant, persevere, behave like men. And then he says, be strong. Be strong. This is the way the angel gave the prophecy, the word of God gave the prophecy to Zacharias and the birth of his son, John the Baptizer. The Bible says of him that he grew and waxed strong in spirit. The Bible says this of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he grew and waxed strong in spirit. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 3, if you want to look at this, Ephesians chapter 3, find verse 14. Ephesians 3, 14. I want to read together with you verses 14 through 21. Here the apostle says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. See, we read this verse in our text, and it sounds very physical, sounds very materialistic. To watch and to stand fast and to be like men and be strong. But the reality is these are all spiritual things. It's about faith, and it's about the Word of God, and it's about the love of God. He says, I pray in Ephesians 3:16 that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. So when we're talking about being strong here, we're not talking about being physically strong. We're talking about being spiritually strong, but the parallels are there. Do you know how you get strong physically? You work out, you exercise. I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but there's been a lot of scientific breakthroughs in the area of health and wellness. And if you eat right and exercise, you can be physically fit. It's amazing, isn't it? Every year, it's a $1 billion industry. And every year, there's a new diet, there's a new program, there's a new everything. And you know what the heart of every one of those is? Eat right and exercise. Isn't that great? Don't you wish we were smart enough to write a book that said eat right and exercise and people would buy it? Start, you know, health and wellness empires with, at the baseline, it's just eat right and exercise. It's crazy. If you stop consuming so much sugar and you start working out regularly, you'll actually be more fit. Who knew? Did you know that those principles carry right over into the spiritual? Spiritually speaking, if you eat right and you exercise, observe to do all that I command, that you'll be spiritually fit. And the great news is, you don't even have to be the one with the strength to do it, because you can't. It's the Lord working in you. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. So be vigilant, persevere, behave like men, be strong. Verse 14 in our text says, let all your things be done in love. Let all your things be done in charity. That's that agape love, that godly love. Let everything you do be done in love. I think it's interesting the way that it's worded here. He didn't say do everything with love, but he says let all your things be done with charity. You see, the reality is we can do a lot of things and do them without love. He wrote about it back in chapter 13. He said, it doesn't matter what I do, even if I give my body to be burned and I don't have love, it's nothing. So let, allow, make allowance for love to be in everything that you do. Make sure that love is included in everything that you do. I want you to just stop for a second and think about what you do. What you do personally in your daily routines. Think about your family. What you do in your family interactions on a daily and weekly basis. Some of you go to school, some of you go to work. Think about what you do in relation to school and to work. All the things that you do. Think about what you do in the community on a daily and weekly basis. He says, let all your things be done with charity. All the things. All the things. Everything you do personally, you should do it with love for Christ. All the things you do in your family, you ought to do it with love for Christ and your family. All the things you do at work or at school should be driven by love for Christ and others. Everything you do in the community, everything that we do, you guys with me? All the things. What things? All the things. Whatever it is, love should be involved in everything that we do. And that sounds really cliche, and it sounds really, I don't know, it sounds real sweet and warm and fuzzy, but that, listen, that's where the rubber meets the road with walking with Christ. That's where it's at. Serving Him has to be with love. Living this life in Christ has to be in love. It has to be in everything that we do. And all the things that we do, if they don't have love in them, they mean nothing. They accomplish nothing. Amen. And they don't glorify Christ. So all the things. So I don't know if your wheels are turning. I hope they are. You're thinking about what you do personally, and some of you are like, I'm not really sure how to brush my teeth with love. I'm not really sure how to get the kids ready and out the door with love. Like, we're just trying not to kill somebody. I'm not really sure how to deal with the problems at work with love. But you ought to think about it. You ought to think about it. You ought to pray about it. And you ought to make a determination through vigilance and perseverance and the strength of the Lord to make sure to put love in everything that you do. Let all your things be done with love. We looked at verses 15 through 19 this morning, so jump ahead to verse 20. Not only do we need to let all our things be done in love, but we ought to greet one another with love. All the brethren greet ye one another with a holy kiss. We ought to greet one another with love. This is a verse that a lot of us like to joke about sometimes. And I certainly don't want to be the pastor to stand up and tell the church, all of you need to start kissing each other when we come to church. Because that would be weird. We debate a lot of times about things, whether they're cultural or not. Because that does matter. And can I just say this? Might be the last thing I ever say from this pulpit. If the Bible had a clear command that was undebatable, that we ought to greet one another with a holy kiss, we ought to be willing to do that. We ought to be willing to obey the scriptures. Even if it was weird or uncomfortable or we didn't like it, we ought to be willing to do what the Bible says. You guys agree with that?
Amen.
Some of the fellows are looking real nervous right now. Like, I don't know, where is he going with this? I debate a lot about things, whether they are cultural or not. We spent a lot of time working through some of that in chapter 11. There are cultures in the world today where it's still common practice for people to greet each other with a kiss.
Amen.
Places like France and Italy and places in the Middle East. It's not a weird thing. It's just a normal thing. That's what they do.
Amen.
I've heard that some of your family reunions are like that. I'm not advocating for us to start kissing each other, fellas. If some of you are getting nervous, that's not what I'm advocating for. But can I say this? We ought to love each other.
Amen.
There ought to be natural expressions of love between brothers and sisters in Christ. We ought to love each other like family.
Amen.
All right? We say it all the time. We're thankful for our church family. We pray for our church family. We give thanks to God for our church family. We ought to act like family.
Amen.
Paul told Timothy to admonish those in the church, the older men like fathers and the older women like mothers and the younger men like brothers and the younger women like sisters. That's why we do that. We call each other brother and sister for a reason, because we're brothers and sisters in Christ.
Amen.
And I know it's different. Even in our culture, it's different. Melissa and I, our families are very different. When I was growing up, when you went to grandma's house, the first thing mama made us do when we went to grandma's house is give everybody a hug. And we could not get in the car to leave until we had hugged everybody goodbye. Anybody else have family like that? All right, where's my people at? Melissa's family's different. You don't hug anybody unless, you know, somebody died. How many of you guys got family like that? Yeah, I see you. My brother-in-law, Steve Spires, he's that way. If you get saved, baptized, or somebody dies, then he'll hug you. But other than that, you're not getting a hug from Steve Spires. And I'm okay with that. Perfectly fine with that. What's the point? The point is we ought to love each other.
Amen.
And I'll say this. I don't know when the culture in the church has changed. I don't know if it changed in the early Americas. I don't know if it changed in England years ago across the pond before the churches came to the Americas. I don't know when it changed for our ancestors in the churches, but at somewhere along the line, that culture changed here. It's not part of our culture. We don't do that. Now, if you happen to visit a church full of Italians, they may do that. You may walk in the door and some guy might grab you and kiss you on both cheeks. I think Mike and Artisa need to visit an Italian church as soon as possible. Wouldn't you like to see what would happen if some man grabbed Mike and kissed him on the face twice? You guys are my family and I love you. And we ought to love each other.
Amen.
And we ought to greet each other with love. I will say this. Romans chapter 16, verse 16 has the same admonition. 2 Corinthians 13, 12 has the same admonition. 1 Thessalonians 5, 26 has the same admonition. 1 Peter 5, 14 has the same admonition. Greet you one another with a kiss of charity. But there are a lot of other New Testament letters that don't have this admonition. He doesn't say that in 2 Thessalonians. He doesn't say that in Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians. He doesn't say that in a lot of letters. He doesn't give them this admonition. So what does that teach us? It teaches us that were times that he felt the need, he was compelled by the Spirit to admonish the church, greet one another with love. Why was that? Why did the admonition have to be given? Because there is a temptation for us to not show love to one another, and we ought to express our love for each other. Don't be like the man who told his wife, somebody said, I never hear you tell your wife you love her. He said, well, I told her when we got married 40 years ago, if anything changes, I'll let her know. We don't need to be like that. We need to let each other know that we love each other.
Amen.
All right. Verse 21. The salutation of me, Paul, with mine own hand. This means that he had amanuensis, he had a scribe writing the letter, but when it came to the end, he wrote his own salutation out to authenticate this letter, that it actually came from him. Because remember, there were people sending letters claiming that they were from Paul, but they weren't actually from Paul. So here he puts his signature on it to let them know that it's authentic. Then he says in verse 22, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, Maranatha. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen. Now, this word anathema means accursed. Those who have no love for Christ, the church is to mark them and consider them cursed. That's what anathema means. Then the word Maranatha means even so the Lord comes. So there's a couple of ways that you can understand this. It could be a term of judgment saying those who don't love Jesus are cursed and they should watch out because the Lord is coming in judgment. Or you could understand it as separate statements. Whoever doesn't love the Lord Jesus, count them as accursed, and then a statement of praise, the Lord is coming. Amen. Which way is it? I'm not really sure. They're both true. If you don't love the Lord Jesus, you're considered accursed, and you better watch out because the Lord's coming. Amen. But for those of us who do love the Lord Jesus, rejoice because the Lord is coming. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen. We ought to love one another in Christ. We ought to love one another in Christ. You know what that means? It means we love each other in spite of each other. It means we love each other like family. It means that no matter what happens, we still love each other. It means that we forgive each other. It means that we help each other. It means that we serve one another. Amen. And we do it in love. Let's stand together.